and you're a coach, and I wanted to pick your brain when it comes to this stuff. Obviously, there's the teaching element of the fundamentals of the sport, the tackling, right? You know, holding on to the football. There's just fundamental things when it comes to the sport. Now, there's the X's and O's. There's the geometry. There's the trigonometry. There's the algebra 2. There's the calculus. And right, when it comes to peewee and getting all the way up to the NFL, NFL's like the calculus. You get to the final leg, right? I look at this team right now, and I feel like they're kind of on, they need to hit the fundamentals first and foremost. But hitting the fundamentals, you got to have the bodies out there. And I just don't know, Joe, as great as Kyle Shanahan is, as an X's and O's guy, as a teacher of football, it gets to a point where even the Kyle Shanahans of the world don't have the bodies. And I don't know if that's an excuse or not, because I'm not an excuse maker. Everyone's dealing with injuries left and right. The Chargers losing their left tackle, right? They're dealing with injuries. The Eagles losing Landon Dickerson. They're dealing with injuries. It's not unique to the 49ers. But that being said, I look at all the different cues as in questionable on the depth chart right now, and it's starting to get red everywhere, and not in a good way, as I go red and gold. It's red for O and Q, out and questionable on the depth chart. It's getting to a point where I'm feeling like if somehow, some way, Kyle Shanahan is able to get this roster to the playoffs, that might be more impressive than him getting this team to a Super Bowl. Like, in years past is what I'm saying. You know, they got to the Super Bowl a couple years ago with like a Mr. Irrelevant, and that was incredible. They had a lot of really good players. They had an offensive player of the year candidate. They had an MVP candidate in Brock Purdy as their quarterback. You know, if they're able to get to the playoffs this year, Kyle Shanahan's got to be the coach of the year. I'm saying that right now on August 12th. Do I sound insane when
no,
I say that?
No, I get where you're going with this. Their team has seven high-priced guys, and then a bunch of unknowns. And, you know, right now on paper, although they have some name recognition that are like superstars, we don't know where they're at in their career. Like, I don't know where Trent's at in his career. He had a bad year last year.
For his standards, it was bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Grading on his curve. We don't know where CMC's at right now. I mean, he's the kid that basically was sick all of last year in school, and we don't know if he's going to come back and be a 4.0 student or not, using your back-to-school
analogy. I'm loving
analogy.
All these analogies, yes. And you want to get Amari Cooper right now for this wide receiver
room. Well, I want him to transfer in.
He's the transfer student. I said foreign exchange student.
He's in District Dover. We want to get him over here, play on our PE team.
There you go.
But, like, Fred Warner is, like, your, you know, student body president, if you will. He's everything that you look for in somebody who's going to set the tone for the entire enrollment.
Fred Warner's the kid, as we're going the school analogy here, as we're going back to school with the 49ers. Fred Warner is the kid that you want to hate, but he's the jock that's also really good at football, but really freaking smart. And he's also a really nice guy. So
he's the prom king.
He's the prom king. But he's like, everything. He's nice to the nerds because he does like school projects with them, but also cool with the jocks. He is the ultimate badass.
Yeah, no doubt. And then obviously Brock Purdy is the freshman who, you know, somehow made varsity and is amazing.
Right.
Looks like he should be in fifth grade.
Right, exactly. He's the overachiever, right?
But I go back to this and I say to myself, like, on paper, they're really thin. And then your eyeball test tells you when you watch them at practice, they're really thin. Then you see the game and it comes out and they're really thin. They're going to need quantum leaps from a lot of, you know, underclassmen to step up and play above what their expectation level is. When I go to 2019, why they did so well, like, you hit on your first two picks. And when I mean hit, you hit like grand slams.
Right.
Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel.
Are you kidding me? All pro players immediately.
Right?
All pro.
Deebo's awesome his rookie year. And then you made an in-season trade and got yourself Emmanuel Sanders, which was a nice move. Jimmy bounced back and was really good. He gave you the best, to that point, quarterback season by the metrics since Jeff Garcia.
Yes.
Almost 20 years.
I know we forget Jimmy Garoppolo was a good Niner. He was.
You know,
he
no
was
doubt.
A good Niner.
No doubt.
You want to say he's awful and he sucks and this.
Well, he did at the end.
At the end. But
in terms of, you know, when he got hurt in the 2021 season and he let himself down and he let the team down, but he was also playing with a bum shoulder.
He was also part of the reason why the Niners came back to relevancy again.
Yeah.
He was a major piece of that.
No doubt. Yeah. All true. And then I look at, like, on paper, that team, we didn't know that Richard Sherman had an all-pro year in him.
No.
He was kind of in a weird spot. Like, he didn't look great in 2018 when he signed with the Niners. He was kind of, And then they had some great safety play, and Dee Ford, who was a huge injury concern, ended up staying just healthy enough for them to squeeze the lemon on him. You got quantum leaps forward from Eric Armstead. At that point, a career year. You got a monster year from DeForest Buckner. Everything kind of clicked. You had injuries. Quan Alexander got hurt, and then Dre Greenlaw kind of stepped in and was really good. And their offensive line did just enough, and their special teams did just enough. And then all around you, things happened within the division. Todd Gurley was never the same.
Nope.
And they couldn't really find a replacement for him. And so Seattle stepped up that year. Mm-hmm. And they were still kind of an odd team in transition. And you ended up finding a way to get the number one seed that year. You know, Aaron Rodgers was awesome. But looking back, you body bagged that team in the NFC Championship game.
Crushed them. And that was a guy that, you know what? Looking back, probably should have gone after Aaron Rodgers when he had the opportunity. Don't want to go down that road. But again, we're using the school analogy, Joe. Talking about grading things on curves a little bit.
But I think, like, New Orleans was the team we were looking at throughout the regular season. It's like, oh, that could be the team that you're facing in the playoffs. And you didn't even get a chance to face them. You got the Vikings.
Kirk Clutchins. You beat him. You upset him. And everyone, I think Niner fans knew then, like, hey, this is wide open.
100%.
Wide open. And it's kind of how you felt about this team, right? When you see, you know, and this was frustrating a couple years ago, when you see the Cincinnati Bengals and they beat the Chiefs before you have your game. It's like, oh, we're going to play the Bengals and it's not the Chiefs and we've lost to them. And it didn't happen. NFC Championship loses to the Rams, SoFi Stadium. But I'll kind of want to get into this at 888-957-9570. You know, grading on a curve this year, is that acceptable to do when it comes to injuries? Can we grade the 49ers on a curve this season? Are you allowing for the possibility
when I say
grade on a curve? Do you know what a curve is?
No, like, I know, but like, what was your calibration before the season started?
Well, I thought they should compete for the division. I thought,
okay, I agree.
I don't know if they can compete for the division right now. I don't know if they have the bodies available to do that.
I think in the NFL with this coach, that quarterback, I would never rule that out. To me, if you win 10 games in the NFL almost every year, it is damn near, that is a great year.
But I guess,
I know some teams are like coming off of, you know, winning a Super Bowl and they're a little deeper or whatever. 10 wins, 11 wins in the NFL is a great year for almost every team in the league.
I guess what I'm saying is the expectations of this team, if they do not reach them for you, is it a failure of a season? Because I don't think it's as simple as this team doesn't make the playoffs and it's just complete and utter collapse, failure, calamity. Now, I'm not saying there's going to be some hard truths to come out. Shout out Stannis of the House Baratheon. Hard truths cut both ways. Like, Shanahan's seat's going to get hot if they don't make the playoffs this year. That is going to be a thing.
If the quarterback goes down, he's going to get a lot of heat.
Well, that's going to be interesting. If the quarterback goes down in one Brock Purdy, but they have success with Mac Jones,
well, yeah,
I don't
know. But there's always going to be this conversation of, you know, 2018, your quarterback went down for a season-ending injury, all right? 2019, he stayed healthy all the way through, but at the very, very end, he got hurt in the Super Bowl game, the concussion. He got hurt in 2020. 2021, he ended the season getting hurt. You also got Trey Lance. He got hurt twice that year. 2022, how many guys did you go through? 2023, you stayed healthy. Quarterback ended up, you know, finishing it. 2024, he got hurt again. Like, every single year, like, there's a commonality there. Like, I do believe, even if they have a good team, that we're going to have a discussion about quarterback protection and why does this team continue to get its quarterback hurt at the end of the year?
Well, are they having that conversation, like, in the Cincinnati? Is it Cincinnati's fault that Joe Burrow keeps getting hurt? Like,
they're not coming at
Zach Taylor, you know?
Yeah, but last year why they didn't make the playoffs wasn't because of Joe Burrow's health. It was because of the defense.
No, I'm saying, but years prior, like health has been a concern for Joe Burrow throughout his career.
Sure.
It's been health. So,
sure.
And I don't see any heat coming down on Zach Taylor when it comes to that.
I think Zach Taylor, a lot of people are saying that's the job Belichick should want.
Belichick's cooked. Like he's not coming back to the NFL, as far as I'm concerned, right? Just that's just me when it comes to that. But are you allowing for a grading on a curve for Kyle Shanahan this season, Niner fans? Or is it a simple pass fail for you? Like, is it make the playoffs, success, don't failure? 888-957-9570. How are you grading Kyle Shanahan this season? I guess I will ask, because I don't know. Is that a cop-out to say, I don't know how you should grade this team right now? Because there's part of me, Joe, that wants to say, you know what? When you have all these different all-pro players, you should be competing for a division. You should be competing for the playoffs. I've told you time and time again, hey, it's the Eagles and it's wide open. I've been strong on that, and I'm still right there. It's pretty much wide open after the Eagles. But again, the Eagles have just shown you they're an injury or two away from being, you know what? Maybe we're screwed. Hell, if Jalen Hurts goes down, like, who's their backup? Is it Mariota still? I don't even know who's their big. Exactly. Like, that's what I'm getting at here. And now you could say that for a lot of quarterbacks, and that's why it was important, I think, to bring in like a Mac Jones, because you have someone serviceable back there, because we've seen time in and time out, the Brandon Allens of the world aren't going to get it done. But when I say that to you, Joe, like, you know, pass fail only for Kyle Shanahan. Is that unfair to say I'm only grading the season pass if they make the playoffs, failure if they don't? Is that fair?
I'm not sure. I legitimately don't know today. I don't know. Because I don't know. I don't have a good feel for what this team is. Like, is Juwan James out all year, or is he going to come back? Like, I think that matters to
but
me.
But now we're getting, the injury excuse, though. Like, that's but what that, I'm saying. Is that allowed for a coach that's been here this long, the injury excuse, when him and John Lynch, they put this roster together? They put this roster together. So the lack of depth is their fault.
I look at it like your body of work does matter, right? Yes. And your body of work is pretty overwhelming that you're a really good coach to me. And judging it just on one singular season is not how I'm going to do it. Now, look, you go 6-11 again, like that is a failure. 6-11 is a failure. If you go 8-9 and you lose some heartbreakers and CMC only plays like 7 or 8 games and Juwan is like in and out of the lineup all year, and, you know, Brock still has a decent season and the defense is a work in progress, and I'm feeling really confident about all these young guys that they've drafted, and I feel like I'm building towards something, then yes, then I still think it can be a successful season. Like, but ultimately the NFL is year to year. It's very year to year. You cannot go 6-11.
No, you cannot.
That I would say 6-11 is out. Anything in the 7-6-5 win zone is a complete failure.
Well,
especially when you just paid, like, here's how I view it. Your most important players, Fred, Kittle, Purdy, are all in their prime currently, as well as Bosa and Diamondor Lenore. Those are your five top. Those are in their prime making big money. You got to be better than 6-11. You just do.
Well, I'll say this, though. When it comes to, you know, the quarterback, if his quarterback goes down, is Shanahan at fault for that? Is John Lynch at fault for that? Is that their problem? Like, again, this is why I asked the question, because that is the one position that could just totally tank a season.
So 2022.
Totally tank it.
Forget the Trey Lance injury. Just move that to the side. Jimmy got destroyed in the Tampa Bay game and the Saints games leading up to, or not Tampa Bay, the Saints game leading up to the Miami Dolphin game, was getting destroyed. Yes. Now, I remember coming on air with Bonte weeks leading up, like, bro, he's getting hit way too much. He's not going to survive. He's getting hit too much. And then he got his foot broken on a very innocuous play, but it was like, no. He was getting pelted for weeks on end leading up to that.
I go back to that Chiefs game where they got obliterated.
He threw,
right?
One of the worst red zone interceptions I've ever seen.
Well, and that was Chris McCaffrey, I think, first game with the team, right?
So bad. Yeah. It was so bad. But he got hit really hard, and so you could see it coming a mile away in terms of his injury. He was getting hit way too hard. 2021, you could see the injury coming. He's getting hit too hard. You could see it, like, Trey Lance got folded multiple times in the two games that he played, the Arizona game and in the game against Houston. So it wasn't just one quarterback. Multiple guys were getting pelted. Even in the following year, they protected Brock Purdy pretty well. They did. I thought that he limited the amount of times he was getting squared up. That year, he did a really good job. Last year, I thought that they did a poor job protecting the quarterback. You know, so that is on Kyle. That's on the offensive line. That's on scheme. That's on play calling. There's a lot of that that gets into it. I got to see what it looks like. If Brock is just scrambling like Jimmy did in 2018 and he goes to cut and blows his ACL out, like, how's that on Kyle?
It's a great point, but I'll also say this. Like, you just referenced all those guys getting hurt and you're not shoring up the offensive line. Like, I'm looking at it right now. The only time you address, I'm just looking at draft, Joe. I can only go.
They're the only team in the NFL that has failed to draft a center or tackle in the last three drafts.
That's incredible. When every single time I look up at the best teams in the NFL that are there at the very end, it's really the Niners are the exception to the rule when it comes to elite O-line play. But I would argue that's the reason they haven't won the Super Bowl ultimately. It's because of the O-line play. It falls apart.
There's a lot of reasons.
Well, no, but like you can look to the
Bosa
O-line
makes
play.
A tackle. Just hear me out. Bosa makes a tackle on fourth and two. They win the Super Bowl. We're not ever having.
Yeah, but we don't.
It's
have
a play here and a play.
A blown
there.
Assignment too.
No,
and
I know.
We had Ayuk for a touchdown. I mean, right? I know. I hear you, Joe. But I'm
saying one of the best seasons we've ever.
I'm not saying it's the ultimate reason, but it is a reason.
It's a factor.
It's a factor, right? And I look at the lack of execution in said draft as you're talking about. I mean, Connor Colby, 2025 this year in the seventh round. Dominic Pooney, that was a hit. That was nice to see last year in the third round, right? Jarrett Kingston in the sixth round last year. I'm just going through the list, and I keep waiting to get an offensive lineman. Oh, finally, Aaron Banks in the second round.
Who left in free agency.
Who left. Like, that's what I'm getting at here, Joe. You don't make it a priority when every other team does, and at the end of the day, the Philadelphia Eagles that have made that their ultimate priority, they're winning the Super Bowls here. They're the ones competing for the titles year in and year out. Not to say the Niners aren't. They've gotten there. They have. But I think it's been more the exception to the rule that is offensive line gets you to the promised land ultimately. It's always been the trenches, always has been, always will be. We've talked to Baldy ad nauseum about this, a former offensive lineman in his own right. It does kind of bother me, Joe, that him and John Lynch don't address this. And is that just a philosophy thing?
I think it is. I think it's philosophy. I also think it's
style
of play.
Like,
no, I think it's style of play, philosophy, best overall within the draft. And also, Joe, they had a lot. This year, I'll cape up for them. They had a lot of holes. They let a lot of people. That's why I think this year's a transition year. Like, I think even if they start off slow, finish the year on a high note, I want to make the playoffs. There's no question. But I'm keeping my expectations very, very, very low. They had 8 spots on defense up for grabs. They couldn't just draft O-lineman with the first 3 picks because D-line was such a big need. Linebacker, a big need. Safety, corner, big needs. Special teams, they have needs. Like, there are needs across the board.
I mean, would you have been mad if they drafted an offensive lineman
no,
in the first or second
no.
round? No, I don't think
but
either.
Then we would have a conversation about defensive line.
Well, no, that's absolutely the case, but I'll say this.
I don't think they had enough picks this year to solve all their holes because I do think they've got some nice pillars. There's a lot of holes. This is not the 2023 Niners.
I understand here, but when we're talking about both of those lines, we have two players that could not be on opposite sides when it comes to the age spectrum. I have Nick Bosa there, who's still relatively young.
He's in his prime. I think he's prime for maybe his best year.
So I have him going forward. I have Trent Williams for how much longer?
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe a year?
And I don't know what level he's at.
So wouldn't it have been more prudent to shore up that offensive line?
Look, I wanted them to take a tackle. But again, in this scenario, they literally need defensive linemen. They viewed it as, well, we have Colt McKivitz as a starter, and you could say that, hey, Colton's not good enough, but some metrics tell you he's not bad. He's not the worst guy at his position. And you have Trent Williams. Like, they felt confident in that. We will see if their confidence is correct.
I want to hear from John Lynch because he is the architect. It's him and Shanahan, but you know what? He's the GM, so I'm going to give him credit when it's due, and I'm going to crush him when it's justified. This was John Lynch back on July 22nd, Joe, as they're starting to get into training camp, talking about the mindset that this team, this 49ers team, needs to have in training camp and at the start of the season.
Being around this league for a long time, each year is a new year, and you earn everything you get, and you know, there's some excitement and newness every year in this league with this team. There's a lot of young, new players who we've added. And with that comes some unknown, but it's also exciting. And so But what I would say is we have a tremendous core of players, and they got to decide what they want this team to be. And a lot of things have to fall in place. But I do know that, you know, what happened last year, and there's a lot of reasons, fell short of our standard. And our guys understand that extremely well. And I think they're very motivated, like Kyle said, to do everything and be very intentional. And it's one thing I love about Kyle and the way he organizes practices. It's all with one intent, to have the team as ready as they can be. And with that, at times, takes some risk. We're not going to go through a training camp 100% healthy. We understand that. We try to do everything we can to account for that and put our players in the best situation, but you have to work. You have to callus up. And I think it's about that work, and it's really exciting.
Well, that was back on July 22nd, and he said, we're going to get some injuries in training camp. I don't know if you expected to have this many injuries this early on.
We're here. I want to get in. You brought up like the Rams and the division and yes. everything, and I kind of just want to have a conversation regarding that.